The Little People. Many cultures around the world have their legends and folklore about the little people. My father was and still is an avid hunter. He has heard all kinds of tales through the years of what others have seen while hunting. He said he's never seen anything, but only one weird experience when he was around 17 years old. He was hunting for elk with his father and brothers in Salmon, Idaho in 1965. They had all split up to chase down an elk herd they had spooked by chance, and my dad was sent around the mountain by himself to cut them off. It was a mildly warm day, and he stopped to rest in the shade of some large boulders. He stripped off some of his gear and had a drink of water. When he sat down to rest, he felt a rock zip right by his head. Thinking it was one of his brothers playing a trick on him, he yelled at them to stop. That's when he noticed tiny human-like footprints in the soft dust underneath his feet. Another rock was thrown in his direction, closer this time. Now, my dad has always been told about the little people who lived in the rocks and crevices of the mountains and hills, an ancient band of Native Americans who barely escaped from the white man. They made their home in the hills, and if bothered, would put a curse on you if you failed to heed the warnings. Feeling a chill creep up his spine, he slowly rose, gathered his things, and said in very slow Shoshone, "I'm leaving. I'm sorry I disturbed you." As he was walking away downhill, he heard small feet slapping the rocks behind him, but being too afraid, he never looked back.
It looked like somebody was bent over and had their head in the window of the deer blind. It either heard me or smelt me, and he pulled his head out of the tent and stood straight up, and that shocked me. They don't make people that big.
The way it moved, almost as if it was gliding across the beach. I've never seen anything move like that in my life. They were screaming at each other in gibberish. It sounded like a language, and they were chuntering away back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards. I know what a bear looks like, and there is no way on this planet that what I saw were bears.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better...
Sir?
Zia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
This is Mindy Rye, and you're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles.
Welcome Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Ed, and Ed comes to us from Indy. He had a run-in with two little people, and I've had a few of these on the show. They're pretty rare, but I have had people run into them, and a lot of people describe them as being a very small human being, usually dressed in a loincloth or some bizarre, you know, something from the 1800s, 1700s. Usually they're carrying a weapon. Very bizarre stories, but it goes back through history. Almost on every continent, they'll talk about the little people. So it's kind of cool to have Ed on the show tonight. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Speaking of that, I'll be back tomorrow night for the members. Very terrifying encounter. I think I'm going to name the show the Bear Story. It's a very fascinating account about a family that went out to a cabin and ended up getting run out of there. A little bit more to the story than that, but very terrifying account. Let's actually jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Ed to the show. Ed, thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for listening to me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here, Ed. And I can't wait to get to the little people encounter. And I know that happened in Indiana. Before we get into that, I know there's a couple strange things that happened to you throughout your life that may be Sasquatch related. And we're going to talk about that before we get into your main encounter. These other encounters, did they happen in Indiana, Ed, or did they happen in Kentucky?
One in Kentucky, and then I had a few things happen here. I mean, nothing really happened. I found tracks once, and that was, but there's a story to that too, because that happened later on in life. Like when I found out, my brother-in-law had some stuff to tell me about that. But anyway,
no, I hear you. Well, tell us about it. Tell us about finding these tracks. What were you doing and what happened?
So it's like wintertime, you know, it's Indiana, it's cold here. February, March, and you get the cabin fever and all that good stuff because you've been cooped up. So there's a place here. It used to be like holding ponds for a leather factory, and it was like dyed water and that sort of thing. There's big holding ponds back there. But we'd ride motorcycles, go back there and shoot. You know, it was a kids' recreation area kind of thing, you know. And it was just dirt bikes and running around fishing whole nine yards. And so it's like February of, I guess I'm thinking it was 82. And I walked back there just, you know, it's wintertime. I wanted to do something. So I got out walking around. I go back there and I get back to this one part. There's like a railroad trestle and you got to cross over it. And then you come to one of the holding ponds. And then there's a trail that went all the way around the thing. And they turned into wetlands since then. But back then it was kind of secluded and not really, you know, nobody really went back there except the people that were back, like I said, riding motorcycles and just scooping off in general. But I get back to this one trail and I see like a bare footprint in the trail because it's muddy and, you know, everything's thawing. It's cold, but things are thawing. And so things are mucky and wet. And I see the track and I see another one. And I'm thinking, you know, because it's 40 degrees and getting 40 degrees in the daytime, 50 degrees maybe if you're lucky. And then going back down to 20, you know, teens at night sometimes. And I'm thinking, what kind of idiots out here walking around barefoot? You know, I guess that would be a logical thought, you know. And so I'm following them and they go down like to the creek bed. And I'm like, why would somebody that was barefoot be walking around down here in this creek? Because it's like, it's a sort of, it was a rural sort of area. It's a mouth of a creek that empties into the Ohio River, but it, like, I don't know, there's glass, you know, beer bottles, trash, metal. So you don't want to go walk around barefooted down there, you know. But they went down to the creek, like, and a pretty steep hill, too, and then followed the creek for a second, came back up the hill, got back on the trail, went back down to the creek, did that four or five times, and then once they got out to the river, they, like, went down on the bank of the river and just kept on going. And I was just like, I'm not, you know, it wasn't creepy or scary. It was weird, but I wasn't going to follow barefoot footprints out in the cold all day long, you know, but it just wasn't something I was getting into that day. But that was the first like thing that I had up here.
Can I ask you real quick, Ed, how big were those tracks that you found? I mean, compared to like a
normal... They were within the normal range, I suppose. You know, they weren't, like I said, nothing special about them. But the only thing that was special about it is it went down a slate. Because like the creeks, like real slaty around here. They aren't, I mean, some of them are hard rock creeks. Some of them are just full of black slate. Like, you know, and it's sharp and you don't really want to walk on it barefoot. And they go down that hill and went down into that stuff and then come back up the hill. And then, you know, it was just like, but it was just, like I said, that's the only thing odd about them. It wasn't like, I mean, there wasn't no like slip marks, you know, like if you'd done even in boots, you'd have slipped, you know, but there was like no slip marks and no like part. It didn't look like where anybody dug in to stay on the, you know, just went down and came back up and then just went on. So it was kind of weird. But it was just like, there was nothing like special about the tracks. But I figured, you know, if somebody did that in the cold, even if you're, I mean, your feet are going to get numb eventually, but you're still going to get cut and that kind of, you know, you're going to not leave blood behind.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. You're going to leave some skin.
Just makes no sense. Someone will be out there without their shoes on.
It was just, you know, that was really the only odd thing about that. I mean, so I really didn't think anything about it. But then like years later, I'm talking to my brother-in-law about it and, you know, not really thinking about it. And he's telling me a story about this dude he used to hang around with. He used to mess around down there when they were kids. And like, you know, he says, "You saw Blackie." That's what he said. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he tells me the story of they used to play down there and they'd see like this black shape back in the woods. And then, like, if you looked over at it, it ducked down. And so, like, I guess, like I told you earlier, this is in the days where you didn't have, like, the homeless situation you have now where there's camps in the woods and, you know, that sort of thing. It was, there might be one guy or a couple guys, you know, and they didn't mess with nobody. But anyway, and then, like, they said if you started walking towards it, it'd take off running back in the fucking woods. Or, again, my language, sorry. But it'd take off running back in the woods and you couldn't get close to it. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, you know, because that kind of clicked a little bit, but it still wasn't anything that, you know, made me like.
Did he ever describe what it was? Because he called it what? He called it Blackie?
He called it Blackie, yeah. And he said it was just like a big, I don't know, big, but he called it a big black shape. I guess if you're a little kid, it's big, you know. It would seem big to you if you were a little kid, but.
Yeah.
And they said they'd walk back towards it. It'd just take off. And they never got really a good look at it because they never got close enough to get a good look at it.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, okay. And so then, like, I don't know, it was probably about a couple years later, 82 or 83 maybe, my dad had bought into this boat business bought a boat business that was going out of business, bought all their stock. It was up in a place called Marengo, Indiana, which is, I don't know, 30 miles north of here. Northish, and we decided, me and two of my friends were like, well, hey, drop us off. There's this place that they use it for, like, it was limestone caverns that they quarried limestone out of back in the day. Now they use it for, like, dry storage. You know, they take, I don't know, soybeans. Well, it's a lot of soybeans now. They take soybeans in there and store them until, you know, sale time or whatever, I suppose. And they're this huge network of these tunnels that are, you know, blasted and mined out of the hills. And this was before it was developed to do that. It was just a place, you know, there's no trespassing, all that good stuff. And we go back in there and we're going to, you know, they dropped us off. We were going to walk to Marengo, is what I'm getting at. But they dropped us off there. We go back in there and we're walking around back in there and not really going too far back in because we didn't have any lights, you know, we just wanted to check it out. And we walked back to this one part, and it made a turn and came out on another side of the hill, and there were pigeons that were roosting inside this place. And all of a sudden, we hear one flapping, and then, like, just raw like that, and like, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened up here. That was something else there. And I don't know what it was. We didn't stick around and find out. We just like, man, we're gone. Because, you know, we weren't expecting all that.
Did it roar like a lion? Is that kind of what you're describing?
No, I mean, just, you know, just raw. Like, kind of that pigeon went to flap and, like, it got caught. You know, like, you're the pigeon flapping, and then you hear raw like that. It was like, not a lion roar, just raw, you know? It was
yeah. You know, trippy. I probably wouldn't have stuck around either, to be honest with you.
No, we got out of there, man. We just like, we walked on to Marengo, which was, I don't know, that was like a 15-mile walk. You know, we were kids, so you're indestructible at that age. But yeah, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. But that is out in the air, kind of in the area of the person I was trying to, hopefully you could put me in contact with, if that's kind of out in that area where he was at too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know when we were talking before we went on there, you said you were paced out one time. Was that in the same area as all of this?
No, that's in down in Kentucky at Lake Cumberland.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
There's a big, yeah, that's that place. Well, see, look, and then years later, so after all this stuff gets on the internet, I'm reading, you know, like you can go through all of it and break it down. They'll tell you counties and all that kind of stuff and some of those things. And so I'm looking at the county. I can't remember the county off the top of my head down there, but there's a little town called Jabez down there. And now, whether it was a story or not, you know, you got to take all the stuff with a grain of salt. Like even the stuff I'm saying, and I know nobody believes me if I say that kind of stuff, but whatever. I know what happened and I was there. You weren't, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I get it.
But there was a story of this lady feeding them down there. An old lady feeding them down in the area where all this stuff, like the pacing was happening. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, okay, well, that lends a little credence to that. You know, it was really weird, like looking into some of the things, you know, like when you actually get into it, you start looking and some of the places, if you've had something happen to you in some places, then you look into where you were at and see what happened, you know, what kind of reports they have from there. And it kind of, you know, gives you a little of an idea of maybe, you know, maybe you saw something, maybe you didn't, maybe you know, or heard, whatever, you know.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah. And I think a lot of people go through that, Ed. I mean, there's a lot of moments where, I mean, I've talked to witnesses all the time and they'll go, you know, this one thing happened to me, like being paced out. You know, and they're like, mm-hmm. I could never figure out what animal it was. Cougar made no sense. Bear made no sense. But I was paced out. Or, you know, having rocks thrown at you. Or, and when you start looking into the subject, there is those moments where you kind of look back and go, oh, maybe that's what that was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Is like, I knew it wasn't a deer. I knew it wasn't a squirrel. I knew, you know. It's like, if, as far down as it was, you wouldn't have heard a squirrel or a deer. You know, and you wouldn't hear, like, footsteps. It's like footsteps. It's not, you know, like a deer stepping. It isn't four legs. It's, you know, you can tell. It's like, and but then everybody was like, oh, well, you know, they start going on with the deliverance thing and all that. Oh, hillbillies down there. And I'm like, you know, and they try to say, oh, your dad or your grandpa. Well, my grandpa had emphysema. He wasn't going to go out in the middle of hot woods in August and come out there trying to scare us. You know, you're going to come try to scare somebody and die.
Yeah. No. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of people try to make sense of what happened to them, you know, and what makes the most sense. It must have been someone. It must have been, it's like I tell, you know, on the show, people describe their house as being hit, that, you know, rocks being, and they're like, it must be haunted. The house must, and that, I guess that would make the most sense. But, the more you kind of look into it, the more you realize, well, maybe that wasn't it. Just like with the whole deliverance, some hillbilly out there. It's a great way to get shot.
It was crazy what they were telling me. I was like, no, there ain't nobody there. There's nobody there. We know there's nobody there. There's only one road in the place, one road out. There's no side roads going to, you know, it just did a big loop. And there was 20, 30 camps in that loop, you know, so you would know if somebody was there. I mean, unless they walked in, but the nearest place was 2-3 miles And there's a great big dairy farm. So, you know, I guess maybe the dairy farmer was out having some fun with, you know, scaring little kids or whatever. I don't know. It wasn't scary, though. It was just odd. Just an odd thing.
Well, was there anything else that happened to you out down there?
No, not down there. That just happened consistently. Like, I could go down there, and if you walk down that road and there wasn't no car, you know, coming, or there wasn't any traffic, is what, you know, usually it was, you were by yourself when it happened. It was never, I mean, my friend was with me that one time, or not one time, more than once, because I had to, you know, I'm like, dude, am I crazy? Am I hearing this? Is this, you know, and we'd stop, you know, we were making like, okay, we'll walk 10 steps and then we'll stop. And we'd stop and there, and like, I guess you couldn't see what was on top of the cliff and vice versa. It wasn't a cliff, you know, the side of the road. You couldn't see up it, and whatever was up there couldn't see down unless you came right up to the edge. You know what I mean? Close to the edge where you could peek over. But looking up, you couldn't see nothing but the, you know, just the cliff and plants and trees. Like we would like, okay, we're going to walk this far, you know, and it, just playing around because we, you know, I had to have him with me to see, you know, that I ain't the one, I ain't hearing stuff. I'm not making it up. You know, I'm not scared in the woods or whatever you want to call it. But I had him with me and he heard it, you know, he we'd stop and like whatever was up or whoever, whatever, you know, I don't know. Whatever was up there would stop when we stopped sometimes. And then other times we would stop unexpectedly. Like we'd agree to stop at a certain point and whatever was up there or whoever was up there wasn't paying attention and took that extra couple steps or that extra step. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. It was kind of weird. And he's like, yeah, I hear it. I hear it. I'm like, I told you, dude. I told you, you know, cause I could, he didn't tell me I was crazy. But, you know, you get that little, like, smirky smile. Like, yeah, right, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When I took him down there and showed him, he was like, oh, yeah. But there wasn't the show. I mean, I just proved that what I told him was happening, you know, like, actually would happen when you did that.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, too, though, Ed. You know, you hear a lot of, I mean, I've had guys in the military on military bases describe that, where when they stop, it stops. When they move, it moves. And every once in a while, it messes up. And when you stop, it'll take three or four extra steps and then stop. And
yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. Because we, and when I read that, like, you know, I really didn't think nothing about it, but then I got to reading all the stuff, you know, once all the stuff started, the internet really took off with it. And I started reading about it more. And then that's when I read that. And I don't want to say it clicked, but you know what I mean? It was like, well, you know, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. But I just can't say it was because I didn't see anything. You know what I mean?
It's a little unnerving to be stalked through the woods. I mean, I get it completely.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yeah. Let me ask you, and I want to get to the little people encounter, and that's what was really fascinates me about your whole situation. You've had these weird things happen to you, but you've never seen a Sasquatch, but the behavior matches.
There's a lot of people on here that have a lot of things happen to them, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And it's interesting because the behavior matches up to what a lot of people say, you know, and it matches to where what we kind of know what they do, you know, based on eyewitnesses.
Yeah, well, it lined up. And I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't.
But, yeah, I get it.
You know, I can't say because I didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, I get and, it. I still appreciate you sharing it, though, because it really does come down to their behavior. And they're notorious for doing this, where they will stalk you out of the woods, and it's usually off to the side. It's never really behind you. It's never really in front of you. They'll throw stuff at you, and I kind of think it was
none
of
that. None of that ever happened. You know what I mean? Like none of the throwing stuff, or never heard any vocalizations or anything like that. I guess you know we and I don't know. We may have heard knocks, but not knowing what they were, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. Cause that kind of, information wasn't out back then. Like, it's the great unknown, kind of like it is now.
Yeah, it still is. What do you think that Sasquatch is, Ed? I know you've looked into it. What's kind of your opinion as far as what do you think that these things are?
I don't think they're the loose side of it. I don't really go for all that. I mean, because I don't know. They're just not that it isn't a fascinating subject, you know, but they can go like out there pretty far with it sometimes. And I don't know, man. I'll go with the animal thing, you know, flesh and blood. That's all the evidence we really have of it. You know, I mean, we don't have the flesh or the blood, but we have.
It makes the most sense.
Evidence, I mean, as much as you want to call it evidence, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So you think it's more like a non-human primate we haven't caught up with, that sort of thing? And there's no wrong answer. I'm not breaking your balls by any means.
Well, I don't. On that end of it, I don't know. I'd go more for the animal side of it if I had to take a guess, you know. I'm not a field or biologist or anything like that, but from everything that, I mean, it has its characteristics of the human, I guess, you know. I don't know, man. that's the million-dollar question, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I don't want you to feel like it was a trick question, because it's not, Ed. I mean, there's no answer, you know.
No, because everybody's got their own, you know, interpretation of it, and that's fine, I guess. But I don't know, man. I'm more based on the reality side of it.
No, I hear you. Well, tell me about this weird incident that you had. What were you doing?
About reality, and here we go.
No, that's okay. That's okay. And I'm fascinated by it. But if you would, just kind of walk us into it. What happened to you? Okay. What did you see?
Well, I'm thinking 92 or 93. I just got back from Florida and had gone to school down there for a couple of years. And then, I don't know, Florida's okay, but it's just, you want seasons after a while instead of rain and hot. And so I came back to Indiana. I started working at a paper company or a paper plate company, you know, just paying the bills, whatever. And I'd take my weekends and I'd go Arrowhead. And I used to do it when I was younger, hadn't done it for a while. And like, you know, I'm going to go Arrowhead, which we go on the river here in the Ohio, and they're sticking out of the bank, you know, that sort of thing, laying right there on the bank in the open. I mean, do a whole big canoe trip, all that. But this time I had taken my friend, I had taken a car to my friend Chuck's house, and he lives in an area called West Point, which is in Kentucky. But I caught a ride with one of his friends in a boat across the river over to the Indiana side, because that's where you find most of the arrowheads and stuff at. So it's probably, as the crow flies, on the river, 20 miles from West Point to Louisville, which I live across from Louisville in Indiana. So they take me across and drop me off. And I've got my backpack, and I've got my shorts, because it's August. It's pretty hot out, and I've got everything I need, my water, you know. And on the river, there's areas where you'll have big flat sand beaches, and then you'll come to a place where there's no beach, and you got to swim around a big tangle of poison ivy or, you know, whatever kind of vines growing down into the river, whatever, which is no big deal. So I do that a couple times, and I get about 5 miles in, I guess, and finding arrowheads here and there. And it's just a slow process walking on the riverbed. And so I get up to this spot, and I stop to take a break to get my food out. It's like in a little cut up in like a runoff out of a field, but it's in the shade, you know, and it's nice. It's cool. Wind's blowing, and I'm just kind of kicking back, taking a break, and looking at what I found. I hear like this buzzing sound. Not like a bee and not like a bug. It was, I don't even know how to explain it. Like a kind of electrical kind of buzz sound. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, it's like a boat or something, you know, from far away. There's some of the boats, like these guys got speed boats, and their screws, well, what I call screw, their propellers, you'll hear them sometimes before you hear the boat. It's a weird thing, man. It's maybe something to do with the water, or you know, the sound traveling through the water. I don't know, but you'll hear it sometimes. And I thought that's what it was. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking, and from around the corner walks this little guy. I'm like, he looked like an Indian. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, I don't know what type, you know, a woodland period Indian is what he looked like. And like I told you earlier, not a midget, not a stunted, you know, not nothing in perfect proportion. It was like, if he was 6 foot tall, he'd be 6 foot tall, not spindly, you know, look thin, but not starving, or, you know, or malnourished or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. He looked, you know, in decent shape, but it just looked like a person. Like I told you too, he's like, I don't know, if I had to guess, 2.5 to 3 foot, maybe. I don't know. Because I looked at him, he looked at me, and then another one comes up behind him and stops, and then it turned around and went back. And so I don't know, you know, and I say he, the one I was looking at, because it was a man, a male. Not that he was naked. He had, you know, like, breech clothes. And like old style stuff, like pre-Columbian, I guess you could say. I don't know. It's like the old skins, not no cloth, nothing like that. Old looking, like the old style, I guess. I don't know. And I mean, and he looked at me, I looked at him. He just kind of, that one behind him turned around, looked back, and then he just kind of looked at me again. And then he turned around, went back the way he went, and I'm just like, well, you know, but it's, what was that? Not what was that, but, you know, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Because it was just like, they were there, they looked at me, I looked at them, the one turned around, went back the way they came, the other one turned around, went back the way they came. And then I didn't hear anything after that. It was just, you know, it was weird, dude. And I've never seen anything like that before, and haven't seen anything since like that. And we spent a lot of time down there. I mean, we spent canoeing, you know, and we arrowhead hunt still. We went last summer, and my girlfriend went with us. My youngest sons went with me. Me and my best friend go. Usually we take the canoe and the kayaks. We get pretty hard sometimes, but I've never had anything like that happen since.
So there's these two things that come out, and you mentioned when we were talking before, they were proportioned, like, well, I guess you said it now, they weren't like, I don't know, midgets.
Yeah, they weren't malformed, or they weren't like, you know, they didn't, I know it probably is not the political correct thing, but they weren't
little person. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't a little person. They weren't dwarves. They weren't,
yeah.
You know, it looked like a, I don't know. Okay. Like, I guess the best analogy I could use, like the Children of the Forest on Game of Thrones, how they looked. Like, they were little. I don't know. I don't need to check out Game of Thrones and see them. They're hard to explain to you. But they were little people, and they were proportioned like a, you know, grown, normal, or whatever you want to call normal, I suppose. And, but they were, you know, 3 foot tallish. But this happened to me like way before, I guess, Game of Thrones was even dreamed of. But they didn't have, like, there's always apparatus they have on the ones in Game of Thrones. There's nothing like that. They look like an Indian, man. I mean, that's what they look like to me. I mean, that's the best explanation I have for it. They were dark skinned, dark haired, dark eyed, with skins on,
like animal skins they were wearing.
Yeah, like the old, not like the, I don't know, man. You see the classic, like, breech clout with the leggings kind of thing, you know, like Eastern Indians. I don't know how the tribes out there have their stuff, you know what I mean? But they have, like, a thing here, like what they, I don't know, like what they wore in, I can't remember the name of the movie now. But anyway, they're like leggings, and they're like chaps almost. It was just a breech clout. They didn't have the leggings.
I gotcha.
Hey, yeah, it was.
Can I ask you real quick? a couple things. Were they carrying anything?
Yeah, the one in the front had a stick, like a pointed stick. I don't know, you know, I didn't see, like, if it had a head on it or anything, you know what I mean? And, that's the weird thing, too. I was thinking about that today, like, after we had talked. I'm like, because sometimes I made the remark, we go down there sometimes, and we'll find pieces that, and I made the remark of this, is that it looks like somebody laid it down and walked off. Like, it's not in the hill. It's not. It's laying out on the sand, out in the open. Like, you know,
somebody
just set it down and forgot. Yeah, like, if we find an arrowhead, no.
Oh, I guess
so. I was thinking, like, if we find an arrowhead, there's times we find them. Like, okay, so they'll be buried, or you'll see just a piece of one sticking out, you know, of the dirt or out of the sand. Other times, we find them, and that's the remark I made, was it looks like somebody just laid it down and walked off. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but that clicked in my head today. You know, I'm like, because there's plenty of times we found them, and it does. It looks like somebody had, not that there was a mark where they'd sit down, but it was like somebody had just put it down. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't in the ground. It wasn't like somebody had been working on it or whatever, or had it in their hand and set it down and walked off and forgot it. That sort of thing. But, you know, I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but it's just something I've thought about today.
And
my mind goes weird places sometimes.
No, I understand. And the noise that you heard, the buzzing, did it sound mechanical?
It was like electrical kind of. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't want to say electrical, but not like an electric, like, you know, like a shorting out sound, like a humming. I say buzz, but maybe it was more of a hum. You know, it was like that. Surgeon, it was weird. But it wasn't like a bug, you know, like a bee, you know, like, or a mosquito buzzing around you, high pitched. It was just like it modulated a little bit. It was weird, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
and that's what made me think it was a boat propeller, because the way it was, like, you know, like you'll hear them biting the water sometimes, and I thought that might have been what it was. And then it was just like that. And,
Do you think the buzzing was them communicating?
That's what I was thinking. You know, because it was quiet out there. There's like, okay, there's boats that go by, yeah. But this is like the middle of the day on a Wednesday, you know, kind of thing. Like, it was middle of the week because I was off and I had a chance to go, so I went. You know, and like, there's not a lot of traffic and there's barges that go by, but you hear them from miles off, just whoa, you hear the churn of that engine going upstream, you know, you hear it, and it rumbles you when you're standing on the bank sometimes, like, they're close enough to the bank where it's like, you feel the engine rumbling you, but this was just, like, kind of quiet, but you could hear it, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's the only I could make it of, because there weren't any birds, you know, it was quiet. Middle of the day, you know, hot, quiet, everything's down for the day, kind of, you know.
There's been a lot of encounters I've had on the show where people are out in the forest and they'll hear like this mechanical buzzing or kind of a weird, what they describe as a mechanical sound, but they can't figure out where it's coming from and they don't see anything. And when you had said that, that made me think of a few encounters I've had on the show where they could never figure out what it was. Were the two beings, were they hairy or were they hairless?
No, they were like, you know, just, I don't want to say smooth. They had hair on their head, you know, like it was like black, like square. It was an Indian, man. So like, it was black square cut hair, dude. I mean, it looked like they stepped out of a history book, but they were 3 foot tall, but they just didn't, you know, the stick he had didn't have anything that I noticed. Like they weren't really carrying anything. You know what I mean? They were just kind of like moving along and he had the stick, and maybe if there was more behind, there may have been more behind the other one. I don't know. Cause that one, like I looked at the one in front of me, the one behind me looked at me, turned around and went the other way immediately. Like there wasn't no waiting. There wasn't no, you know, it was like a, I don't know what they call a standing order kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like that's a military kind of thing. Like a standing order or standing operating procedure where when this happens, you do this. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I know we've drilled down enough on it, but to clarify for people, this wasn't like two little Sasquatches you ran into. I mean, these were
No.
Yeah.
They were little brown skinned people.
Yeah. Very bizarre.
With dark hair and dark eyes and leather breech clouts. And I didn't notice they had shoes or not because I was too busy. You know, I wasn't too busy. It was just like, I wasn't looking around. You know, I was looking at him. He was looking at me. I saw the one behind him, like, kind of come around the corner and then looked around him, saw me, and then went right back around the corner. I want to call the one in front of me was a male. You know, that's what it seemed to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear
you. It's trippy, man. It's like, it's one of them things, like I said, people call you crazy, whatever.
There is a long history of the little people. The Native Americans will talk about it, and I've had witnesses that have seen them. And a lot of the Native Americans will tell you, I've had Native Americans tell me they're more terrified of the little people than they are of Sasquatch. I remember one guy told me, he said, if you ever find little tiny tracks that look like a kid's track in the woods, it's a little bit different because they're a little bit wider and they look a little bit right. different. But for the most part, it looks human. They told me to turn around and go the opposite direction because they will attack you. And I even had a guy in Texas one time. He's an old man now. Not an old man, but he's older. But when he was a kid, he would tell his dad about these little people that would follow him around and harass, but not really threaten, just more or less harass him as he was out in the woods. And his dad never believed him until one day they were climbing up the side of the house and his dad saw it through the window. And they described him the same way, you know, 2.5 feet tall, looks like a human being, just a very small proportioned human being. And
right.
But very strange, you know, very, very strange. And I laughed earlier when you and I were talking. You're like, I thought I was having a heat stroke. And
yeah, man, it was like hot, you know, and that's why I stopped because I'm like, well, I need to sit down and eat, drink something. It was getting hot, getting to midday, you know, and I have been heat stroke before and I didn't have heat stroke. I mean, I got heat stroke later on down the line. Not that day, but later on down the line, I got heat stroke pretty bad, and I did not have heat stroke. I wouldn't have made it off that riverbank that day because I was alone.
Yeah, what do you?
If I had heat stroke, I'd have been done.
Yeah, now I hear you. What do you think that these things were? I mean, what do you think that they are?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm curious. You know what I mean? I don't know. A snapshot out of time or something. You know, I don't know, dude. I really don't. I mean, it's. I want to look into it more. I talked to a lady here in Evansville. Well, I'm not in Evansville. She's in Evansville. I talked to her a little bit about it. And she had put up some stuff about that. And that's what, but that was a couple of years ago. You know, she'd put up a story about a Native story about the, you know, a historical thing about the history of that sort of event happening here in Indiana. And like the not a tradition, but it's, I don't even want to say regular, you know, but it has a foothold. Let's put it that way. You know, there is a sort of a tradition of it here, I suppose. But as far as the Native side of it, I don't know because like all the Indians that were around here pretty much got wiped out and sent to reservations. So we don't, you know, there's nothing, there's no source around here of that.
Yeah, it's very strange when you talk to the natives. Like I said, most of them will say it's very physical. I know we were talking about the woo earlier, but a lot of natives will say that they're very physical, but they're not. They kind of go in between.
Well, they go into the metaphysical thing, which that's part of their,
right?
You know, part of their belief system, and I get it, but I don't know, man. It's just like, what I saw that day was real. He didn't just poof disappear. You know what I mean? He looked at me. I looked at him and he turned around and walked the other way. He went. And as far as if they're trouble, they didn't give me no trouble that day. I wasn't in a position to like win a fight with them. You know, if that came down, I don't know, you know, but that never even really crossed my mind, because it was just like, wow. I don't want to say wow, but, you know, wow, what the fuck? I'm sorry again about my language, but
that's all right.
That's just when that kind of, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people on here that have the same feeling when they've seen and sad stuff happen to them, you know, the what the F.
It's fascinating, man. And I don't know what those little people are. Like I said, if you do research on them and do start looking online, start talking to Native Americans, it's very similar to what you described. They're wearing animal skins, and a lot of times the Native Americans will talk about them having spears and poison on their spears to kill you.
Yeah, I guess you don't need a point if you got that, huh?
Yeah. So it means
you just stick them with it.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder. I mean, I would love to go walk around that area and see what you can find. I don't know if you'd want to come face to face with one. They probably figured you weren't worth the trouble and turned around and left. But it's bizarre. It's very bizarre. I mean, Sasquatch is bizarre too. But I mean, these little people.
Yeah, we'll see that. Like, I don't know, man. That, like, I mean, I believed in the Sasquatch thing before that, but we've never, you know, like. The stuff happens so infrequently here, but as we talked earlier, a lot of people won't talk about it because of everybody's, oh, you're crazy, you know, or that's the main thing. You're crazy. You know, you're messed up in the head. You know, you're going bad, whatever, you know, they'll say all kinds of crazy stuff about you. But when it comes down to it, it's you have seen what you've seen. And you know what you know, and nobody can, I don't want to say take that away from you, but I guess that's the best explanation of it, is nobody can take that away from you. You know what you saw. You know what happened. They don't. And they can say what they want, but, you know,
yeah.
Maybe one day you'll find out the hard way. You know, I don't know.
It's true. It's fascinating. I mean, especially the little people, man. I find it fascinating. It's hard to find people who've actually run into them. I have had a few on the show, but they're not.
People don't want to talk about it, dude, because it sounds so stupid and so crazy. You know, and I thought that too. You know, when I kind of read a little bit about stuff about that, but it was all just folklore. You know what I mean? It's folklore. It's not real. It's, you know, the thing of scary tales, put the kids to bed at night and all that stuff. But some of it evidently has a basis in fact. So I don't know. It's a weird subject. And
yeah,
I haven't really checked into it anymore after that, you know, cause there's really not that one lady. She put out a big thing about it. I can't remember her name. I have to look for her again, but she put a bit, it was a big, you know, a whole, it explained it about around here supposedly, but I don't know how much I can believe of what they say went on around here because they don't really know. You know what I mean? They can say, well, this is what happened, but they don't really know what happened back 10,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. You know, we had like the mound builder cultures here, and you've done stories about that. Didn't you do a thing with this snake mound with that one guy?
Yep.
Yeah. And I haven't been up there. That's in Chillicothe. It's not very far. I've never been up there, but there used to be mounds out here, but they've cleared them all for farming. And, you know, there's just miles and miles and miles of cornfield and soybean fields. And I don't know if you've ever been to Indiana, but that's pretty much our thing is corn and soybeans.
Yeah.
So all that stuff got erased. And none of it's in, I suppose it's in private collections, you know, but I don't know. It was like Edina and Hopewell and I don't know, man, they had this whole son, I don't want to say cult, but you know, it was a whole thing, man.
Yeah.
And none of it's here anymore. And that's why it's hard to believe any kind of thing they say about that because they don't really know because so much of it got destroyed.
Yeah,
they had no idea what was here and what could be here or what could have been here. I don't know.
It's a very strange world, man. I think there's more out there than what most people realize, you know, I like the dog man. A lot of people laugh at the dog man, but I've talked to enough eyewitnesses to where I'm convinced it's out there running around. Same thing with the little.
I don't know, man. The jury's kind of out on that one with me because I don't. I don't know, man. It sounds like werewolf stories to me.
Right.
You know, yeah. I hate to discount it, but it's some of the things they're saying is just like, I don't know. Then they had the whole hoax thing about the Beast of Bray Road where the dude had the suit on and all that stuff. So that kind of threw a wrench in the gears for me. But I haven't had that experience. So I can't say that it's not real, you know.
Yeah.
There's people saying it is real, and here I am saying something that sounds crazy as hell, telling you it's real, so you know.
No, I hear
can't say it's not.
It's uncomfortable, you know, when you start running, people start talking about these weird things you run into, and it's uncomfortable. You know, it's like Sasquatch. It's very uncomfortable when people start talking about lights that they see around the same time they're seeing Sasquatch, or, you know, where they see the eyes glow, and I'll ask them, was it eye shine? And they'll say, no, it wasn't eye shine. These were glowing eyes like a light bulb. It's uncomfortable to talk about that stuff, but you almost kind of have to if it's consistently happening. And I don't mean like on every encounter, but I mean, if one person tells you...
And you hear it repeatedly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating.
Speaking of light, sorry to cut you off. My brother-in-law was up here a few minutes ago when I was talking to him. They go down to LBO pretty often. I don't know if you know much about that. I mean, I'm sure you do, but that's supposedly the dog man hotspot and all this kind of stuff. And they go down there pretty regular. And you've talked about these lights in the woods thing. You know, I've heard much about that too. Well, they were sitting in their camp one night, him, my sister, and two of his friends. And like this, I don't want to call it an orb. I didn't see it. I wasn't there. They swear up and down this big ball of light came shooting through their camp. And three of them saw it. One guy didn't see it because he was facing the other way. You know, and like, I was like, oh, okay. And I know my brother-in-law ain't a liar. I know my sister's not a liar. I know the guy that was with him, or both of the guys with him aren't liars. I mean, and if my brother-in-law and my sister tell me something, I believe it. You know, there's no saying, oh, you're full of crap or you're crazy. But they were talking about that. But what I'm thinking goes on down there is they used to do a lot of iron smelting and stuff down there. There's places called Magnet Lake and this and that, you know, it's like, it's a huge property. That's for sure though. But I was thinking what goes on down there as far as light wise could be like all that iron and stuff that's in the ground down there, you know? And I think the New Madrid Fault runs down through there too. I'm not sure, but I think it does. And like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stories coming out down there too, though.
Well, do this for me, Ed. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your little people encounter.
There's no problem, man.
Yeah, let me know if anything else ever happens to you out there. And
well, I'll try if we get out as much as we can. And
yeah.
Like I said, there ain't no telling when something's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Obviously.
But I really appreciate sharing the little people encounter. Like I said, that I've had a few on, but they're very far and few between, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And if you can get me in contact with that one fellow we were talking about earlier, I'd appreciate it. Just to talk to him, you know, feel him out and see what he has to say about out there.
Yeah, I will. I will. Thank you again, Ed.
Appreciate it, man.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Until next time, everyone.
Drink. Sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and wagering week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.